I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope your Wednesday is off to a rip-roaring start. We were just debating an MLB Hall of Fame stuff.
Candidacy. Feels good to yell about those, doesn't it? It's always one that gets people fired up.
Well, you know, I thought it'd be better to talk about that and how we all kind of agree, even if we think they're slimy and
they're definitely cheated in some ways.
I mean, we have eyeballs and brains, and it was the era, and they weren't the only ones. And it's weird how we punish specifically like three over like the vast majority.
Well, we now have known steroid users in the Hall of Fame, too.
I mean, it's
a purity check that does not...
It doesn't hold up.
Hold up. If it was a one-size-fits-all and everybody who has ever been associated with it wasn't in, but they let David Ortiz in because he got a cool nickname.
I just thought it'd be better to talk about that than the Braves winning in Seattle yesterday. I wasn't holding my breath.
Dude, you guys, you might be my only hope, man. San Diego might have a chance at it this year.
I don't know if you could do it.
I love
our team. It's been a lot of fun this year.
You know what I'll be doing come postseason time because we ain't sniffing it this year.
You're chopping with me?
I'll chop with you this year. I'll get my chop. I've chopped before.
Yeah.
I felt a little weird chopping.
Okay.
But when you're in the middle of a chop, you kind of, the crowd gets going a little bit.
Hey, man.
It's aesthetic.
Everybody was crotch chopping in middle school. Hey, teacher.
At that Braves game in the seventh inning, and I've got my cell phone light out, and I'm like, what am I doing right now? Chanting. This is weird.
Yeah, that's the thing I don't do anymore.
Right? So the arm is okay? The
no,
chantings?
I don't do it anymore.
You don't do either of them? I call BS on that.
I don't.
When in Rome, you take yourself to a Braves game. No. You're telling me it's 3-2 in the eighth inning. You got a reliever coming in. The whole crowd's doing it. You're going to be the only one.
Everybody panicking
in your section's going to be like, hey, look at this guy. He's not chopping over here. He's not a real Braves fan.
I'm panicking. I'm starting to eat the hot dog. Oh, now it's time to eat. Can't chop. Sorry.
Got to gobble my dog real quick.
Fun sports stat as we kick off the second hour here is if they made Back to the Future right now.
No, don't do it.
And Marty hopped into the time machine, he'd go back to the last time the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl. Oh, I love that one. That's my
favorite.
How
about them Cowboys?
A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. An hour from right now, we will be on the phone talking, fingers crossed, with ESPN's Bobby Marks.
What up, Bobby?
And we're going to throw out to Bobby Marks, the one thing he probably hates is how many random people recognize him that are sports nuts and they just throw out trades.
Hey, Bobby, would you do this deal?
Big fan, Bobby. Would you give up this for that guy?
We want Trey Murphy. How many first-round picks should we include? I want him to articulate the Denny Avdia contract situation. Because
yeah,
I am not smart enough to... I could ballpark it, but I don't know the specifics.
Totally fine.
And he can walk us through that in an hour.
Before I get to my college football segment, I really want to talk about with you. I want to remind you that on June 23rd...
What?
Brandon, are you writing this down?
You writing it down?
Oh, it's already on the calendar.
Oh, he's ready to go.
Oh, it's already on your calendar.
Are you
going to
be out there June 23rd?
We'll see. I hope so.
Okay. Pop out, man. June 23rd, Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. Foursomes are on sale now, and they're going fast. How fast? Well, so fast that I was told almost gone here, Sprager.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, I'll tell the people. Go to 1051thefan.com. You got to click on the Fan Golf Classic logo, and that's where you sign up your foursome. Afternoon round, morning round, still available. We'll be hanging out at the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3. That'll be the sixth hole, the Volcano Hole. Hanging out, having a good time, and we'll all be eating Matt's barbecue. I can already taste the brisket. The Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, and Window Nation. So I saw a clip from Monday that made the rounds on the internet. And it was somebody I really respect and enjoy, Kevin Clark.
Kevin Clark.
May know him.
I do know him.
He covers the NFL at large for ESPN, does the Kevin Clark show on the Omaha productions. He's also a big college football guy.
Yes, he is.
He's a diehard Miami fan. And he was on with Paul Feinbaum. And Paul Feinbaum threw at him the 2014 playoff.
Yep.
And he basically said what I think a lot of people feel is like the people who don't really care about the sport want the 2014 playoff. And that quote made its rounds. And, you know, he backs it. He really feels that way. And so I'm fine with it.
Sure.
I've been telling you now for 3-4 weeks, I've noticed Josh Pate dabbling in the 2014 playoff scenario stuff. And when he does that, that makes me think there's real traction. Well, let's fast forward to yesterday. According to Ross Dellinger in Yahoo Sports, the American Football Coaches Association voted last week,
the AFCA,
to recommend college leaders implement a playoff with the maximum number of participants, discontinuing conference championship games,
yep,
and preserving the Army-Navy game window, but holding other games on that day, and to end the playoff by the second week of January. If you're wondering, the maximum number of participants would be the number 24.
We got them, boys!
Now, Kevin Clark, you might be speaking a lot of truth, but I think you got to be careful with the only people who don't care about the sport want that.
Yeah.
Literally, the college football coaches are all telling you, and most of it's job preservation.
Yes.
They want it to be maximized so they can be 8-4, 9-3, make the playoff, and get all the fans off their freaking backs. And so this is, I will just tell you, I don't know when.
It's going to happen.
But it's going to happen.
The Big Ten's not
dying.
It's
hard to see it not happening.
Or they're not getting off this hill. Like, the Big Ten's going to die on this dance.
Because they want Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, Penn State,
USC.
Yeah,
they feel like they could get 7 teams in every year, and the payout's going to be huge, and that's what they want. It makes all their conference members happy. First off, the Coaches Association coming out with this, I did read through the Craig Bohl comments because he's the head of the AFCA.
I have those comments.
Craig Bohl is, by the way, one of the all-time great characters in college football. He was the coach at Wyoming for a long time, North Dakota State. He'd, like, stand on the Wyoming side lines on a polo and it'd be, you know, 4 degrees and snowing. An absolute psychopath, smaller coach, always loved Craig Bohl. He did say in there that, like, it doesn't matter if it's 16 or 24, they're leaving that up to the powers that be. But I think you're smart and spot on to read between the lines. And this comes on the heels. Joe Klatt was doing some rounds of interviews earlier in the week across the country. He was riling up SEC people because he's not a big SEC guy. He doesn't call SEC games. And he was, you know, ranting and raving about Kalen DeBoer, and Alabama fans were getting pissed. But he went on this tangent basically saying he's hearing from so many coaches that now support this. And the reason they support it is what you highlighted. It's for one main reason. It is job preservation.
Bonuses and contracts. I've made the playoffs. I need more money.
The irony of all of this is there are always unintended consequences. So as of right now, it is deemed a successful or failure of a season for a good chunk of elite programs, whether you do or do not make the playoff. If Oregon is to miss the playoff next year, how do we feel about that season?
It's the most disappointing
season. It's a massive disappointment, right? 9-3, you could be a game away. Doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't care how you lost the 3 games. Doesn't matter how it looked. You didn't make the college football playoff, and you were supposed to this year. That's a failure of a season. If you lower the bar of expectations in terms of how many teams get in and the way fans are going to feel, the fan expectations are just going to change accordingly. Like, that's the thing that I chuckle about here. So we have all these coaches ranting about participation awards and all these, we're doing too much in society to pat these kids on the fanny. And then in behind closed door meetings,
they want participation
awards.
You want
a participation award of saying, I was the 23 seed in the playoffs, so get off my ass. I made it this year. But, like, I just think about this for a second. Now, some programs, you make the playoff and you'll be happy to be there. Not every program has the same expectations. If you're Kalen DeBoer, or insert whatever coach you want here, Lincoln Riley at USC, is making the playoff as an 18 seed and getting bounced in your first game enough to get fans off your back?
Well, not
I think
Kalen
fans'
DeBoer.
Expectations will adjust accordingly to failure or non-failure that you didn't even win a play. You got there, you didn't win a game.
Kalen DeBoer, no.
Now you're Mike Tomlin.
Lincoln Riley and USC making the playoff? Yeah. That's
in a 24 team field? I mean, sure. In a 12 team, it would
they've
be.
Never
but
made it.
In a 24 team field, they'd be in there quite often because 8-4, 9-3 USC are in there every year. My point is just simply that we will move the goalposts on what we deem as a successful season.
I agree.
And so it might buy you a little leeway in the initial run, but long term, if you're not making runs in the playoffs, fans aren't going to excuse that.
So over the last month, this according to Dellinger, influential leaders on the College Football Playoff Governance Committee, such as the Big 12 and ACC commissioners, Brett Yormack and Jim Phillips, as well as the standalone guy who gets a seat at the table with all these dudes, Notre Dame Athletic Director
Bavacqua.
Pete Bavacqua.
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 He's got his own chair, man.
He has swung their support. They've all swung their support. They were initially against a few months ago. They've all swung the other way. They are in favor and behind the 24-team playoff. Tony Petitti of the Big Ten, he supported the 16-team playoff, but he would without a doubt support a 24-team playoff.
That's their proposal. They want 24.
The most discussed 24-team model is an all-at-large field determined through the rankings with an automatic spot for the group of six leagues. The format adds one playoff round and 12 additional games to the, what it currently is. Yep. The top eight ranked teams would receive first-round byes, while seeds 9 through 24 play in the first round on campuses. It's going to happen, in my opinion. Now, well, if this is wrong and they just completely go against it last minute, whatever. If this is going to go through and it's going to be 24 teams, mm-hmm. They're doing what Lanning wants. They're ending the season relatively soon. Like, yeah. It's going to end the second week of January.
They want to cut down on breaks in between games so there's not these big layoffs.
And like, I like that.
All that stuff is great.
I don't think I like the bye. If you're going to have 24-team playoffs, make everybody have to play.
This is why I don't think you need 24. There's no way you can do it mathematically with 24 because it just the numbers don't work in terms of when you play.
Yeah.
So you got to give 8 a bye. Then you got 16 teams to play. Then the 8 win those games. And then the 8 that won those games play the 8 teams that have byes. Like, that's just the only way that bracket works. That's why I'm more in favor of 16. I just think the math makes more sense. 16 is a bigger number. You're still allowing a bigger allotment of teams in. Everybody should be satisfied out of that. You're not going to get the 8-4 Iowa riffraff in there at the back end that I don't need to see play a playoff game, and then everybody would play right out of the gate. 116, 215, so on and so forth with two rounds at home sites.
And then you get the
higher seeded teams that get to host a couple of playoff games, which is a massive revenue generator for the local communities, for the schools, and it's awesome for the fan bases to not have to travel. It just makes a lot more sense for me to do that. Look, I'm not going to tell the 24-team playoff is going to ruin the sport or that, you know, if you like it, you're not a real college football fan. I respect Kevin Clark. I'm not going to go that far. I do have genuine fears just about what it does to the regular season, and maybe it's a misplaced fear and none of it comes to fruition. That's a lot of teams in a postseason, man.
The AFCA board, so the conference, the coaches, conference commissioners association or coaching association, excuse me. The board includes names of Brett Bielema, Brent Venables, Clark Lee, Rhett Lashley, Joey McGuire, Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
So those are your big names that are a part of this coaches thing. But largely, they're all talking to all the coaches throughout the country.
Yeah, you're getting recommendations.
I mean, there's no doubt that, like, if they went to this, the expectations, because this is job preservation.
These guys have the
sweetest gigs, debatably, in sports. Their buyouts give them generational wealth, and they get to hold all the power if they stay in, right? Making the playoffs simply will not be enough in a 24-team playoff.
No, for some, it might because you're not supposed to be there. But for the majority of the bigger guys, it won't be.
But if you keep making it and not winning a game, nobody's going to care that you made it. Like, dude, you're 8-4 making the playoff as the last of this major conference.
Yeah, I'll use the Mike Tomlin example. How many years in a row were Steelers for like, hey, we just made it, but we didn't win a game.
We're a wild card, but we don't really care about our quarterback.
Get out of here. We want you fired.
So I'm more just to me, I think that the shine would wear off of job preservation rather quickly. I can actually see it happening year one of a 24-team playoff. If there's a coach at an institution, call it DeBoer. Say he doesn't win a title. They implement a 24-team playoff. He's 9-3. He loses his first game. I could see that scenario where, like, dude, we don't care that you made the playoff. There's 24 teams in this thing.
No.
You're ala freaking Bama.
You want a cookie for that? Are you kidding me?
Well, but what would... like, so, to Kevin Clark's point, and you kind of touched on it there, you know my stance on the regular season and how much it would impact it or not impact it.
Yeah.
I've given that argument enough for me.
Yeah.
I'm more kind of curious from the, what do you think is worse for the sport, though, 24-team playoff or the NIL portal? Because both of these are the priorities of the sport right now.
They are.
What we're looking at right now is, are they going to hand everything over and say, Donald Trump, save our sport, even though you couldn't name anything about it?
An executive order won't work. All it takes is one lawsuit and a player will file a lawsuit and it'll get struck down.
The Sabins of the world are out here parroting, we need to get this under control. It's like, does anybody have buyouts under control? Is anybody stopping, like, coaches for making $14 freaking million a year? Is that out of control? Yeah.
Kalen DeBoer just got a massive contract extension.
Kalen DeBoer is going to, by the end of his career, if he doesn't absolutely fall on his face at Alabama, Kalen DeBoer is going to walk away from the sport in his life $200+ million. That's where these guys go.
It's a lot of money.
They're going to walk away with NBA player money.
Yep.
And so it's like, but that's not out of control. It's the portal, and it's how much the players get paid, because the salary cap doesn't really exist
right
in the sport, even though they've tried to say it's $23 million or whatever it actually is supposed to be. So I'm more kind of curious what's worse for the sport, a 2014 playoff.
Such a hard question.
Or the NIL portal.
I would still have to lean NIL portal because of the familiarity with players and the bigger fish eat littler fish vibe that a lot of programs around the country have. Like, for I'm taking my fandom out of this. I have no issue with the transfer portal because Oregon lands big time guys. We don't lose starters, and I love it. It makes our team better every year.
You guys have but we're also unique. According to Andy Staples, I thought this was an interesting note since you brought it up. You guys have debatably been the best portal team in the sport when you look at NFL draft.
They've had more guys drafted that were portal guys, and some of them were...
And it's early, but so far, yeah, that's the returns.
And some of them were, you know, can't miss Dylan Thienemans, sure, and Derek Harmon's, and other guys were Malik Benson, who was a no-name at Alabama, who wasn't playing.
Bo Nix,
who was given up, right, on. Tez Johnson came from Troy, and so...
Think about Lyman.
Right, you've had a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've had more guys. So it certainly benefits our program, but I get the gripes with it. I fully am aware and understand it. I also like 2014 playoff. To me, it won't be as detrimental as long as it's implemented correctly.
The FCS model is the model here, is it not?
It's without a doubt the model. As long as you are in a spot where I think something that will benefit fans greatly, that fans will be all on board with, is that if you give multiple home games right out of the gate, so you're not making fans travel to Miami and then New Orleans and then Atlanta and then Phoenix and then Dallas to go watch their team throughout a playoff run, because nobody can afford that, mm-hmm, outside of the 1%. You give them home games, I think that'd be great. If you cut down on the time off, so you finish the season, there's like an Army-Navy game or whatever weekend you want that, or how you want that weekend to look, and you're jumping right into the playoffs and you're playing through the month of December, it won't be quite as detrimental. I am a fan of, and I love that they recommended getting rid of conference championship games. I think they've just become obsolete in this modern era.
They punish teams if they do anything.
They punish teams, and then there's teams that lose. That, like, Alabama got smoked, but it didn't matter that they got smoked.
They won a
playoff
game.
BYU got smoked, yeah, but they got punished. Right. And so it's like we're treating everybody different here. There's a benefit but not a benefit. It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Have it be a play-in weekend. I think that makes that weekend a lot better. So there's ways that you can do this. I think getting more broadcast partners involved would be a really good thing for the sport, and not just have one voice and have ESPN control the entire thing. Have Fox and NBC and CBS and some of the other networks get a say in it and be able to broadcast games. So there's a way that they could do it that I don't think would be that detrimental. I just don't have a lot of faith in the people that are in charge to make the right decisions, because they very rarely do in college athletics. So I'll still say NIL and portal is the bigger detriment to fans loving the sport. I just, 24 is a lot, man. It's a big number. And I don't ever, like, people are making comps on the text line to March Madness. It will never be that. Football is football, and it's king in this country.
You can make an argument, though, that 24 is as close to March Madness as the sport will ever get.
Like, it just, there is an element of, we will still watch our teams, we will still be engaged, we will still react when they lose. All of that you are correct on. It just won't have the same feeling watching.
Why?
Because it doesn't matter if you lose.
I disagree with that. Fundamentally, it does matter. If you lose three games, let's use Oregon.
You're still a playoff team.
I agree.
What if we win two games in the playoffs? But who cares if we lost games in the regular season?
Your road to the title as a three-loss team versus
one loss. I mean, it becomes tough for sure, yeah.
Yes, it becomes infinitely tougher. It's the same. Look, I'm not a big 24 team
Miami
guy.
Is a great example of this, I think, last year.
Sure.
Miami lost two games in the regular season that they had no business losing last year.
And they were debated if they should have made it.
And a lot of people felt like they shouldn't make it because they didn't have a lot of quality wins. And they made it all the way to the title game. If they didn't make the college football playoff last year, let's say the committee chose differently.
Notre Dame makes it, or BYU makes it, or whoever else.
How is Miami fan feeling right now about their program?
They want Mario fired.
Right.
Right.
And instead they got into the playoff because it was expanded. So this is my point about they wanted to kill him at the moment of those games, sure, but that's because it's a 12-team playoff and they thought it would limit them getting into the college football playoff.
Right. I don't disagree with that. I don't know if you and I really even disagree.
I don't think
on
there's
some
that much daylight
stuff, you know, but like Oregon USC to me, it only loses its luster from a two-team, four-team playoff era. You'd still go into that game. Are you going into Autzen and you're like less excited to try to beat Lincoln Riley and embarrass them again?
No, I'm not saying it doesn't matter as much to win.
But also, you're allowed a little bit of grace. So my whole thing, I totally think
people
are right.
And that to me is 2014 playoff is too much grace. I don't need four team losers in the playoff.
That's absolutely fine to have that
that's
opinion.
That's too much grace.
I also think once the games start, we're kind of checked. We're like, oh my God, we got four huge games here.
I got Arizona going on the road to Georgia. Like, that's not going to be competitive. And look, a lot of games have already been blowouts. I get it. So that's the easy throwback in my face. I hope you're right here, and you probably will end up being right. Football is ultimately king. There's not a lot of people who are with pitchforks. Give me 8-4 Iowa, 9-3 Arizona in the playoff. I need that.
The coaches that want those contracts they have the pitchforks. So the coaches committee voting and saying, yeah, we'd love the maximum number of playoff spots. 2014 playoff could be coming to a sport near you. We got a lot more to get to in the second hour. Dirt and Spade, we're back with more on 105.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
One, the fan. We got Statter Story to get to in the final hour today. Bobby Marks is going to hop on in about a half hour. You have ESPN. Very quick, congratulations. If you ain't first, you're last. It's not always true.
There's second, there's third, there's fourth, there's fifth.
Hell, Bobby, I was drunk when I said that.
I've based my whole life about that, Daddy.
Such a good scene. Congratulations to Ryan Clark of OregonLive.com. He finished second in the entire country of sports beat writers.
Look at our guy, Ryan T. Clark.
How about that?
Numero dos on the big board.
And I just saw that he's trying to follow me on Instagram.
I got the Instagram follow yesterday.
Did you follow back?
I did. We're social media friends now.
I didn't click follow yet.
Big step in our relationship, Ryan.
It's a big step, dude.
Now I'm getting personal photos. We're going to know things about each other we haven't known about each other.
I follow you on Instagram. I disagree. You don't ever post.
That's true. I'm not very
you
active.
You never post anything.
I get a vacation. You get a baby picture once every, like 4 months.
Yeah, usually a Teddy ball
game.
You get
a Teddy ball game
update
every 4 months. Hey, there he is. All right, he's still alive. We're here.
We have the anonymous NBA players poll. This is the only thing the NBA gives us. And, like, the NFL's trying to get rid of this stuff.
So soft.
We need more of this. You know where we need this? We need this with politicians and in franchises. We need accountability.
Yeah.
Real feedback. We've got best defensive player, most overrated player, most underrated player, best coach, least impressive coach. And we'll tell you what that is probably after Bobby Marks in the third hour of the radio program.
It's on the docket.
Also, public enemy number one to Andy Dirt Johnson reared his head. And I'll get to that in the next segment. And, oh, buddy, I saw this and I went, oh, no.
Who do I hate?
Dirt will never like this human being.
Ooh.
As long as he's breathing oxygen.
I'll never like him.
You will dislike this person for comments they made.
Okay.
Okay? It's right in your wheelhouse.
That's a dirty tease right there.
Well, that's what I like to do. My final thing on the college football thing, because we don't have to make it two big segments here.
Oh, we can if you want to. I'll keep yelling at you.
I'm excited, man. Spring football's over. I'm thinking about getting Landon Tangwall on tomorrow.
Ooh.
Get his spring football takeaways.
He's super high. He's broken down on the spring film. The Cody Green freshman offensive lineman in Washington, he raved about.
Is that the kid he said is the best in the country, or is he talking about an Oregon kid?
Tommy Tofi, I think is how you say his name, is the freshman kid. I don't know which one he said was the best, but he did video breakdowns of both of them and their spring performances and how they're probably both going to be impact players right out of the gate as true freshmen this year.
The only reason I am maybe a little more open to the expansion of that playoff, even though I will admit I understand it, you can tell me that the BCS 2 team or the 4-team playoff era we lived through for a while, you can tell me those are the best to you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I also found them incredibly unfair for the vast majority of the sport in determining best team.
No issue with that.
And that,
completely agree.
That's the only, and look, I like the 12. The 12 is pretty good. If you stuck with 12, I'm totally happy with that. If you go to 16, cool. You go to 24, I will understand the backlash, but I'll also get on board because I'm a sports fan.
Yeah, you're just not crying wolf over it, which you might end up being right in that case. And I don't want to sound like I am saying I'm crying wolf. It's just there is a fear in my mind of will there be an unintended consequence here. that we don't foresee coming. That's the only thing I'm mentioning.
I think attendance will get far worse for all of the patsy games that end up getting scheduled in a 2014 playoff. Like, if I was a Duck fan and they're charging me 14% more on my ticket.
I mean, they had that for James Madison last year.
Why am I going to three or four home games that are against teams that you're easily going to bludgeon?
Yeah, and listen, YouTube brought up James Madison in the playoff last year. And I said at the time of the playoff game, like, that was ludicrous that they were in.
It wasn't exciting.
It was because of the way the rules were written that you had to put them in. They didn't have any choice. It wasn't they weren't an at-large bid. The ACC just did ACC things. But it was like no... That was stupid. We're not playing the same sport here, and Oregon fan didn't even really enjoy that game, other than to say you were at a home playoff game, and that was the first one in school history.
I think, if anything, it just gave Oregon fan a reason to freak out.
It did. Everybody freaked out over the defensive performance in the second half because they kept giving up scores. And then they shut out Texas Tech the next week. The irony.
A couple NFL notes.
Yeah.
Jog down some NFL notes here. The Seattle Seahawks...
made a little move on the defensive line.
They did. They signed Dante Fowler Jr.
Yeah.
Not something, it's a one-year deal worth up to $5 million. He won't be an every-down guy, obviously, but they lost Boye Mafe in free agency.
They did. Lost some depth on the defensive line.
And so they wanted to bring in a vet who they think ultimately will make an impact. I saw this from Brady Henderson. Do you think, like, this is a move to me that, like, you say it,
and doesn't have any resonance right now.
And then big game, fill in the blank, Niner, Ram
week nine,
game.
He's got a sack on third down.
Huge sack in the fourth quarter. Oh, damn it. Like, I'm just kind of wondering, if I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan, hell, if I'm a fan of any of these really good teams, you're always kind of telling yourself this is going to make an impact in some game, huge moment, right?
How many times do we see NFL teams go through seasons and have key guys miss big stretches of the season and need to rely on guys like this?
Right.
So on the surface and on the paper depth chart at the start of training camp, he's not going to be super high up there or asked to have a big role. But mark my words, at some point next season, if he stays healthy, he's going to have to play a bigger role. That's just the way the NFL works. And there's a lot of these that happen every year. They go under the radar. We don't talk a ton about them because they're not household names. It's not Max Crosby trading and then the trade getting rescinded. Mm-hmm. It's not to that level. It's just you got a depth piece on the defensive line. You need as many big bodies as you can find there. I also find the way we talk about certain ages in the NFL really funny because
he's 33, right?
He's 31.
31,
he's 31 years old, and it's like, you know, they got old washed up defensive lineman Fowler Jr. or Dante Fowler Jr.
Dante Fowler,
And he's only 31 years old. But in NFL years, it's like dog years. That is pretty long in the tooth.
Update on the NFL and NFL Referees Association.
This is going to be such a disaster.
Well, their collective bargaining agreement basically has progressed to the point where they think this is a done deal by Thursday.
Okay, they're going to get it done.
According to this ESPN report,
the sources are saying they're going to actually do it.
And the NFL Referees Association on a new collective bargaining agreement have progressed far enough that the union has scheduled a ratification vote for Thursday night, sources told ESPN yesterday. And when formally approved by both sides, the agreement would avoid the need for replacement officials. The existing CBA is set to expire at the end of this month. They've already actually assigned some refs to games.
I know they originally did for the replacement guys, too. They had that going through the offseason. They were getting that all ready to go. I haven't followed the story that closely after that.
This is an update that it's basically
relieved to hear that they're close to getting it done. The NFL is a multi-billion dollar industry. Let's pay our officials, please, for the love of God.
Yeah, they're not going to disclose the agreement stuff here on either side because that's going to be part of this, but good enough for the refs to come back to the table.
Yes.
Do Cowboy fans enjoy seeing Stephen Jones saying they feel really good about the Micah Parsons trade and how it's all worked out?
No, probably not.
No?
I mean,
they've gotten Kenny Clark.
Yeah.
Two first-round picks.
It hasn't been terrible, I'll say that.
Quinnen Williams.
And Parsons got hurt last year, too, which helped.
Malachi, yeah, that helped a lot. Malachi Lawrence, they ended up getting Devin Moore. So they, you know, they've added some other defensive parts along the way. Like, there's a case to be made that they've recovered from it because historically it was the worst defense maybe in their franchise's history.
Really bad. Drafting Caleb Downs is going to help right away.
Caleb Downs, also a really good player to be adding. Like I really like Malachi Lawrence. Look, I think he's a stud. So
idiots can stumble into success from time to time. I don't think it makes you feel good about like the organization and who's in charge, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it didn't turn out to or can't turn out to be a net positive
they
for them.
They tend to stumble into this from time to time.
They
where
do.
They do something like, what are you doing? And
I mean,
then it's like,
oh,
it kind of worked for you.
They're not fully incompetent. They're not the worst ever to do it, but they're also pretty big idiots. I feel dirty saying it. I'm going to say it again. Make fun of me. Please, for the love of God, laugh in my face. Save this take. Write it down on a sticky note.
Okay.
Call me an idiot for the entirety of next football season.
You think they're winning the Super Bowl?
I don't know if they're going to win the Super Bowl. I think they have a legitimate chance to win the NFC. Like, they're one of... I think they're loaded on offense. I think they got one of the better quarterbacks in the conference. Power rank.
Is he stay healthy?
I don't know, but you can do that for anybody. I get that.
Well, with him specifically,
I get it.
Feels like
power
a
rank NFC quarterbacks for me.
Give me a second. Let me look up. I have to look at logos. Sometimes.
Stafford has to be number one.
Stafford's
you just won the
one.
MVP.
Yeah,
who's
go-
two? I end my argument. Dak, like the NFC quarterback
no,
void.
You
could go Caleb.
Your argument. I'm thinking right now. I got Goff.
Saying,
I got Caleb. I got Jordan Love.
Would you rather have Goff or Dak Prescott? Jordan Love or Dak Prescott? This is my point. If you put him in the AFC, nobody's
well,
taking him over
beating
Josh.
Prescott.
Nobody's
taking. Love beat Prescott.
He did. Well,
that's
the way
the
it
NFL
works, right?
Head to head
win. That means it's over. It's done.
Right.
Like, come on.
You know,
man.
Mahomes will never be past Brady because Brady
Darnold
beat Mahomes.
Better than Matt Stafford.
Exactly.
I don't care about his MVP.
Yeah.
Sam, I'd rather have Sam Darnold as my quarterback than the MVP of the league. Like, what are we doing here?
I mean, you're certainly making a fair point that he might be the second or third best quarterback in the conference.
His numbers are usually solid. I think you got a contract year coming out of Pickens.
So
I think they've improved their defense.
If I gave you a really good, talented NFC roster and a good enough defense to get to an NFC title game, and I took Matt Stafford off the board.
Yeah.
And I put all the other quarterbacks.
I don't
what
know if I'm
accomplished.
Taking Dak, but Dak is in my cut. Like, he's...
So who would you take? Because you just told me who's better than him.
I'm just asking the questions, buddy. That's what I get paid to do. I'm just... Look, all I'm saying is he is in the mix of being the second best quarterback in the NFC. Because Caleb has 1 year, essentially.
Yeah.
He's not... Like, I'm not saying he was bad his rookie
do
year,
you
but... Do you trust
second
it?
Year
you know,
bump,
right?
Yeah.
Daniels was hurt and horrible. That didn't work out.
Another good name to bring back.
Remember when Jalen Hurts was the top five quarterback in the league? Now his team might move on from him after next season, so ain't nobody with a brain taking Jalen Hurts over Dak Prescott. I don't care about his Super Bowl.
Fair.
Jared Goff,
Brock Purdy?
I think Brock is solid. I don't know if I'm taking him over Dak Prescott. I think he's had a lot more to work with and a better coaching staff his entire career than Dak Prescott has. Dak Prescott's had multiple different head coaches. He's had pieces come and go. He's had
Purdy had a better receiver than CeeDee Lamb?
Probably not, no. But I would take play caller and collection of talent of Brock Purdy over play caller and...
Yeah.
I mean, they hired a coach we all openly mocked last offseason.
I still kind of am.
And I don't blame you for it. And this is why I'm an idiot.
I love that they won 7 games and everybody's like, man, he was really good. I'm like, McCarthy literally...
He did that every year.
He
got
three
the playoffs every year.
Winning to getting to the playoffs and being 12-5 or whatever it was. It was what are we doing?
I am opening myself up to be made fun of, and I will allow it because I am one of those idiots that is currently believing in the Dallas Cowboys. Some of it is the belief in Caleb Downs being the best player in the draft and getting a steal at him, where 10 or 11, wherever they ended up getting him in the draft. I look at the division. I don't trust Philly, New York, get out of here, Washington, give me the Cowboys.
Final little note here, not much to react to. Stephon Diggs found not guilty of strangulation of his personal chef.
Not a shock there.
All right, we have a lot more to get into. Bobby Marks at the top of the hour. Coming up next, somebody saying something that is going to lead my coast to lose it. I'll tell you who it is and what they said next on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Bobby Marks at the top of the hour. We got Stat or Story in the final hour. Welcome into a hump day edition. Turns break here on 105.1 The Fan.
I love the quarterback takes that come in. Nothing gets people. College football playoff stuff and quarterback takes. We're just getting everybody riled up this morning.
I wanted to have fun.
Jordan Love, there's no way Dak's better than Jordan Love. you feel free to
Jordan
have whatever.
Jordan Love beat him.
Jordan Love
idiot.
Did beat him.
You're an idiot.
You know how many 30 touchdown passing seasons Jordan Love has in his career?
Well,
not that that's the only metric that matters.
Dak does it in garbage time. Doesn't count. Shut up. You don't know anything.
I love it, man. I love it. I can't wait for football to
be back. The NBA playoffs have kind of been a dud in the second round so far, and
yesterday,
I saw these football notes,
and
I'm like, let's talk some football, man.
Nobody cares Cleveland-Detroit and the OKC game win, kind of how we all thought it.
We'll get back into basketball top of the hour. Talk
fun
more.
Games tonight.
Yeah, and we'll talk our beloved Blazers with Bobby Marks coming up here at the top of the 8 a.m. hour. Stouter Story at 9 a.m. Very quickly want to pass along, this actually impacts me. Mm. And it kind of impacts everybody, but it impacts me and I think other people out there like me. I grew up a nomad, didn't have a dad around, so it was like choose your own stuff in life.
Yeah, be a fan of whoever you want to be a fan of.
And one of those things for me was because they were on cable television, the Atlanta Braves are my favorite baseball team. Now, bandwagon fan, absolutely, but I love red. I always love the unis. Ted Turner's passed away at the age of 87.
R.I.P. Ted Turner, man.
Lived a great life.
Yes, he
obviously
did.
Obviously, started CNN and the Superstation. And, you know, without him, I don't have my baseball team.
24-hour news channels. Cubs and Braves will always be unique in that way, man.
Exactly.
The only two games that you could watch as a kid outside of Sunday Night Baseball or whatever random game of the week you had.
I want to get to what's going to piss you off, but I was thinking about this, coincidentally, over the weekend.
Such a smart move for him, dude. He dominates an entire region of the country.
Well, the Braves were in Colorado before the Mariners series, mm-hmm. and I was watching all the games, and it's a Brave home game.
Yeah.
And this happens a lot. When I went to the Mariner game in 2023 or 22, mm-hmm. dude, it was maybe 45% Brave fan. It's red everywhere.
Yes.
Are they a top five most popular baseball team? And largely because of this.
Without a doubt.
So I went Yankees. One,
Yankees, yeah.
Red Sox.
Yeah, Cubs.
Cubs have to be in this. The Dodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean, I know there's a lot
here.
Of Dodger fans. I'd be willing. I don't know. Maybe I'm dumb here. I feel like there's more Braves fans than Dodger fans nationwide.
They have an entire region because the Florida teams largely never existed, and all the other states don't have teams.
Nobody cares about the Florida teams. Even in Florida, nobody cares about them. So I've been to a Braves game. We went when Oregon went and got mollywopped by Georgia. We went to a Braves game, and it was a ton of fun. New stadium's awesome. The whole ballpark scene and area around it's sweet. One of the biggest things that stood out to me was you're having some pops. We're out there having a good time. And the brand man were, and you end up having random conversations with different people. You're walking back to the hotel drunk from a baseball game, whatever. What shocked me was how many people from random areas around the South were just driving in for the weekend to watch the Braves play.
Yeah.
Like every other person we talked to that night at a bar or on the walk or whatever, we drove up from Alabama. Oh, we drove over from Mississippi. Oh, we came from Louisiana. Like everybody in the South is a diehard Braves fan. That entire region loves that team. And so you have a pocket in that regard that you don't really have for other teams in the entire sport. It doesn't really exist. You do have nationwide Yankee, Red Sox, Cub fan. Like, I agree with all that. I know there's a lot of Dodger fans out there. But, yeah, I don't think it's a debate that the Braves are in the top five.
So RIP Ted Turner, 87. Gunned down his prime.
right when he was getting going.
Before we get Bobby Marks coming up top of the hour. So one of your favorite staples of your life, and I know this about you, is when you decide to travel and fly out of Oregon, you are a classic, I'm traveling, here's how I show you, beer at airport guy.
Ah, yeah, I love a good beer at the airport photo.
You ever flown Ryanair?
Ryanair?
Ryanair.
Does like our the boss name have Ryan. An airline? Is it
no.
Ryan Reynolds? What's
no.
going on here?
No, Ryanair is a real airline.
So it's R-Y-A-N.
Air.
Space.
No.
Air.
One word.
One word together.
Ryanair.
Ryanair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Their CEO's name is Michael O'Leary. O'Leary having a really bad run in the news right now. CEO state of Utah.
Let's get another data center in there.
Let's just.
Who needs water and energy?
Let's destroy the state of Utah. It's already going bad for their environment. Let's just give all of the energy to
yes.
a data center.
AI, steal our jobs.
Michael O'Leary has called for an outright ban on early morning pre-flight pints at airport bars.
Oh, you shut your mouth.
Saying, quote, he fails to understand why anybody is served beer at 5 or 6 a.m. and he wants alcohol sales restricted to normal business hours. He wants a 2-drink limit per passenger, and he doesn't get why airports are profiteering by pushing early booze and exporting the chaos to airlines. Quote, drunks shouldn't be allowed to board in the first place. Stop selling alcohol on board, not just early morning. All alcohol should be banned at the airport and on the plane.
I got two takeaways here. One, don't infringe on my rights. These are my rights. And if I want to drink a beer at 5 a.m. before I jump on a flight, that's my God-given American right that I can drink that beer at 5 a.m. Number two, this is probably why I've never heard of your stupid airline. Nobody fly. Who's ever flown Ryanair? Do we have a single person alive listening right now that has flown a Ryanair flight? This sounds made up. I don't even think this is a real thing.
It is.
I think you're butt-cracking me right now.
I'm not. This is a real thing. Look it up.
This is Travis Kelce at the
official
Met Gala.
Ryanair website.
They have a website?
Cheap flights in Europe. It's a European-based company.
I mean, that's not even that big of a deal, boozing over there like it is over here, I feel like, although maybe that's wrong. This is dumb. Like, one of the best perks about going on vacation is that all rules of society go out the window. Like, that's one of the main... On a Tuesday, I'm not just drinking an IPA in the studio at 7:15, but if I'm on vacation, there are no rules.
You know that I have not drank alcohol in a while.
No, you have not.
I will forever advocate. And it's not like I'm not against alcohol. I just, for personal choice, not done it. I will advocate super hard because I have had a morning early flight airport beer.
Yeah, it feels great.
It's an amazing feeling.
It's like it's like a Wild West. It's lawless. I can do what I want.
It's the closest feeling you can get back to being a teenager sneaking alcohol.
Oh, God.
It's like, wait a minute. I'm drinking this and it's 6:30 in the morning?
Let's do this.
We left to Vietnam, we flew to Seattle. We had a super early morning flight.
God, that sucks to go to Seattle and then go on a
flight.
Well,
you had to load up on the Big Bird.
Yeah, you got
to
get on the Big Bird.
So we had to go to Seattle for like a two-hour layover. When I went to Alaska, I had to stop in Seattle. And both times... Guess what I did?
What are you going to do?
It was 7:15 in the morning. Yeah. I went and I sat at the bar and I had a morning beer.
That's what you do.
And there was something very like, I don't know if this bird's going to land safely, but doesn't matter. This is great.
Now you're a little more loosey-goosey, huh?
It made me feel a lot better. I'll say that much.
The drunkest flight I've ever had for sure probably was when me, you, and Coug Ludes went to Vegas. We had a really good time. I feel like our flight was delayed. We spent a lot of time at the airport.
We were at the Henry's.
We also went to a bar before going to the airport. We did a bar and then went to the airport bar and then had drinks, on the plane.
I think we did Red Robin.
Yes, we did.
Right? Because it's the airport
over
one.
By IKEA. It was over in IKEA. We were like, let's go to Red Robin.
Got a couple cocktails there. Then we went to the bar. We were early and we were like, there's Henry's.
Might as well hang out here for a little bit.
And by Henry's, I was
lit like a Christmas tree, man.
I was flying.
I felt good.
Then we got on the flight. Got another drink.
Now I'm bumping my tunes in my headset. I'm ready to go win some money on a blackjack table. Now I'm in the zone, man. Yeah.
And then we landed safely in Vegas and got a limousine taking us to the hotel. Felt great.
What are we doing here, man? One of the big perks of vacation, the rules go out the window. Have beers whenever you want. It's like a golf beer. It doesn't really count, even if it's at 6:30 in the morning. It's allowable because there are no rules in these spots. Ryanair needs to sit down and shut up. Know his place.
You want to hold a limit. I'm fine with that. You can't say I can't have any at all.
No.
One.
No.
Two, max, all right, I'll be open-minded with that.
Get out of here.
At 7 a.m., I get it.
Get out of here.
But let me have an airport
beer.
Four max,
that's fine. I'll allow that. Anything less than that, I'm filing a lawsuit.
Remember this next time you see Ryanair as a flying option.
I'm ever in Europe. I'm not flying Ryanair. You're banned for life for me.
Loaded third hour of the radio program. Let's kick it off. Bobby Marks of ESPN. What does he think about the Blazers, the Denny Avdia contract looming, and the NBA playoffs? We kick off the third hour. Bobby Marks of ESPN, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.